Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, pregnancy-focused chiropractor, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today, you have joined the after segment of a before and after birth story. My guest today is Amaris Rodriguez, a new mama. Congratulations and welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Berlin. Yeah, I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to be able to share my afterbirth story.
Yeah, last time we talked, you were prego, very prego.
Yes.
And you were planning to have a kid and you were from a pharmaceutical and science background, but your comfort zone when it comes to your own health is more on the natural side.
Yep.
So you're planning a fairly uninterventive birth, not even including gasoline to get to the hospital. So, you know, I think like anybody, you had some concerns, worries, fears, anxieties that come up around that period. And you had some things that you were doing to work through them. Now it's all happened. So walk us through it. How was the last bits of your pregnancy?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I spoke to you a few days before giving birth.
Yeah, I think we did.
The baby came before the due date.
Damn.
Yeah. So you lost that one.
We made predictions. I'm waiting to see at the end, but just so you know, prediction number one, I said 3 days after the due date and Amaris said before you hit your due date.
Yeah.
You win.
Amaris yeah.
One, Dr. B zero.
Yeah, so the baby came before the due date.
How far before?
Exactly when I turned 39 weeks.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, exactly when I turned 39 weeks. And I actually worked up until the day I gave birth, which is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a little bit of time off.
But, you know, I'm thinking that there's obviously you guys miscalculated and your due date was off by 10 days and I was right.
I don't think so.
Oh, well.
I think the baby was just ready. The baby was ready to make his debut. And yeah, we had a baby boy, a beautiful baby boy.
Sweet. Wait a second. So you worked right up until your birth.
Yeah, not the due date, until I gave birth. Yeah.
No, I think you said till you gave birth and I screwed it up and said due date. Okay. Moving back to you and your story. So how did labor start?
Oh, man. So I remember day one, I was having like cramps. It felt like period cramps. And it happened all day. I thought it was just, you know, maybe Braxton Hicks. But I also had a strong feeling that the baby was going to be coming. So I remember over the weekend, I was having those cramps. And then the following day, no, not even the following day, that same night at midnight, I started bleeding. So I figured I was having my bloody show.
Wait, were you having those cramps at work?
No, it was a Saturday.
Ah, Saturday.
It was a Saturday. I was dead tired. I was actually in bed all day and I was just having some basic cramps. I would not call them contractions because I didn't feel like they were strong enough to be contractions. It's like, oh, maybe this is just some practice for the baby for, you know, for Labor Day. And then that same night, exactly at midnight, I got up to use the bathroom and then whoosh, like all this blood came out and I was like, oh, this is my bloody show. No big deal. Oh, baby's going to be coming soon. And I was having contractions. That's when the contractions like started. I woke up my husband.
Wait, so now you're calling them contractions?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were intense?
Yeah. That's when I started feeling them. And I
more than you thought? Or just like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I woke up my husband. I was like, I think I just had my bloody show. I'm not too sure how much blood is a bloody show, but I think I just had the bloody show. So, man, I'm like backtracking in my head, trying to think of all the details. So we were super excited. I was having contractions, but they were very like mild and maybe about 15 to 17 minutes apart, variable.
But I'm confused because you said they were more than you expected, but then you said they were mild.
Okay, so Saturday I had cramping. Then that night at midnight, I had the bloody show. And then that's when I actually felt contractions.
Oh, okay, but they weren't overwhelming.
No, they were not overwhelming.
They're on the mild side.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Definitely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're contracting and now it's after midnight.
Oh, yeah, it's after midnight. My husband actually had to drive to Bakersfield. My stepdaughter was here with her cousin spending the weekend with us, and we had to take the kids to Bakersfield, which is about an hour and a half away. We had to do that because I was going into labor, and in the event I needed to go to the hospital, we didn't have anybody to watch the kids.
Oh, wow. So now in the middle of the night, he's taking them to Bakersfield, which is about how far from you?
An hour and a half.
And you're home?
Yeah. So we wake up the kids at 1 a.m. Wow. They came running into their bedroom. They were so excited that I was in labor and about to have the baby.
How old are they?
One of them is 6 and the other one is 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The cousin is 6 years old. So they were super excited. And despite it being 1 o'clock in the morning, they were such good troopers about it. So my husband drives all the way out there and comes back. Mind you, this is like 3 hour round trip in the middle of the night to come back to a woman who's laboring. But he makes it back in time. The contractions were still like, you know, mild, moderate, still 15 minutes apart. He comes back and he's laboring with me. He's helping me get through the contractions.
Okay, slow down. What were you doing while he was away?
Oh, I was really excited, anxious, nervous, walking around and trying to figure out what last minute things I need to do.
Oh, you're like nesting?
Yeah. You know, mind you, this entire pregnancy, I feel like I have not nested. Women talk about this nesting thing. I don't think that ever happened.
Not you? Okay. Did you do anything to, well, first of all, did you reach out to anybody or you just kept your little secret?
Actually, I did. I think around 3 a.m., I reached out to my family on the East Coast because I knew it was 6 a.m. over there.
Okay. On a Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. So I reached out to my East Coast family. I didn't reach out to anybody here because I'm like, it's 3 a.m. People are asleep and I'm not going to, you know, reach out to anybody over here. But I woke my mom and my sister up to let them know that I was like, I think I had my bloody show. I think I'm in labor.
And you guys are all about family. Like, that's your thing. That's your culture.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I woke my mom and my sister up. And my mom couldn't believe it because it was, you know, before the due date.
Oh, she was in my camp. Yeah.
She didn't think the baby was going to come for like another 2 weeks.
Okay, you showed us.
So she started looking for flights to fly on demand.
Wow. Was that the plan?
Yeah. I mean, she was not packed. I don't think that was in her plans to fly on demand, but she started looking for flights and she actually found a flight to fly out. I told her, I was like, if you don't make it, it's okay. And, you know, I didn't put the pressure on her anyway.
But it was your preference that she would make it.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So she finds a flight, she books it. I'm sure she started packing. And like I said, my husband came back from 3 hours of driving, middle of the night, no sleep. Me, I'm just like looking around trying to figure out what I need to get done before the baby comes. I'm staring at this pool in the living room that has not been set up. We didn't even have like all the pool parts. We needed a connector and adapter
for the sink.
The faucet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crap.
You didn't have that? Oh.
No. So when my husband came back, I was like, you got to go to the hardware store.
What? Who's open at 4 o'clock in the morning?
So he said, I'll go when they open. So I was nervous that we weren't going to have a pool.
Oh, no. Do you have a tub separate from the birth pool?
Yeah, we do have a tub, but there's like glass, like permanent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of those sliding doors.
Yeah, not the comfiest.
Yeah.
And so did you need to do anything? Did he need to do anything to help you with, you know, the building momentum of labor?
What do you mean? Like,
Did you need comfort measures? And if you needed them, what kind of comfort measures were there?
Totally. Yeah. He was massaging my back. My back was in a lot of pain.
Lower?
My lower back. Yep. My lower back. So every time I had a contraction, he would press down on my back, the sacrum. He would breathe through the contractions with me and remind me to breathe.
Were you making noise?
Yeah. I was.
You're expressive.
I was. So when he got back here, he definitely was helping me through that. Eventually, I called my midwife when it was at a more decent hour. I want to say around 6 a.m. 7 a.m. is when I called my midwife and I told her that I'm in labor. And at that point, I had a lot of blood coming out. I was collecting maxi pads of blood. And I told her over the phone, I was like, you know, I'm bleeding a lot. I'm not too sure if this is normal or not. And she asked me to send her a photo of the maxi pads.
Hello, Instagram.
So I sent her a photo. It was a lot of blood. She said, that's an alarming amount of blood. That's not normal. That's definitely more than a bloody show.
Even the way you described it at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you said whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of blood that came out. But I think the problem is that it was a continuous bleed. It was like,
oh, wow.
It was a lot of blood.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm very curious where this goes, but we're going to have to take a little break before we find out. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We are talking to God's gift. Amaris. That is the meaning of your name.
Honest. Yes, yes. You remembered. Yes.
I remember something sometimes. Yeah, your whoosh of blood started at midnight and you kept whooshing. And the graphic images you were sending to your midwife were a bit alarming. What happened next?
Yeah. I also sent the images to my god sister because homegirl had five babies and she's a childbirth educator. She knows a lot of stuff. And she was awake at 3 a.m. this time. I was sending her stuff as well. And
she's on the East Coast?
She's on the East Coast, yeah. Okay, so cool. She was one of the people that I reached out to pretty early as well. And she said that it looked like a lot of blood. She brought up placental abruption. And she was like, you know, I'm not there to check you, but that's a lot of blood. And she said, you can look up online placental abruption. But
you are the researcher.
Exactly. She was concerned. She was concerned about it. And she was like, definitely tell your midwife. And she was like, you might need to go to the hospital. And in my head, I'm like, no, this is probably, you know, just part of the bloody show. You know, no. Maybe my bloody show is a little bit bigger.
It's not a bloody movie.
So
it's an appearance.
So the midwife knows, Bryson's with me, he's helping me through contractions. Midwife says, let's monitor for a little bit longer, see if you can get some rest. Because you and Bryson have both been awake since midnight. Bryson's been running around wild, going to the hardware store, dropping the kids off, three-hour round trip.
You have the faucet adapter?
Yeah. So I lay down. I was able to sleep for a little bit, maybe an hour. I was able to sleep. And while I was sleeping, Bryson went to the grocery store to get some food for the home birth. I was like, you know, while I sleep, maybe you can go grab some sandwiches and things.
You don't like have Postmates or Instacart or anything, Bryson? Bryson.com?
Listen, the man is reliable. He went, he stocked up on a variety of sandwiches, a variety of juices and snacks and all this stuff. He brought it back.
Ooh, I'm going to sign myself up for Bryson.com.
It was great. I wake up from my nap. I check, you know, to see how much I'm bleeding again. Nothing has subsided. I'm still bleeding a lot. And the midwife, she said, you should go to the hospital. And I was pretty reluctant. I was reluctant because nobody was here to like check me. You know, it's like I kind of wanted somebody to physically be here and say, hey, you know, like, you got to go to the hospital. You know,
was that an option? Like for someone to come over?
Yeah. I mean, the midwife could have came over.
Did you ask for that?
But the thing is, she saw enough.
Oh, like in her mind, nothing to come over for.
Right.
Go find out what's happening.
Right. She was like, I've seen enough blood already. It's time for you to go to the hospital. I was a little reluctant about it because I know once you step foot into that hospital,
you lose all autonomy.
Yes.
That is what you told me once.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I started packing a bag with my husband and I was like, babe, you want to pack like some pajamas or something? He was like, I'm not packing anything. He was like, we're going to go to the hospital, get checked, and we're coming back home.
How far is the hospital from you?
Well, that's another thing. There were two hospitals. The one where my obstetrician was a little bit further out. We decided to go to the hospital down the street, which is a 4-minute, 5-minute drive.
So first of all, are you still having contractions this whole time?
Oh yeah. Still having contractions, but I'm still, you know, talking and Bryson's, you know, breathing through them with me. And we were able to pack a bag together. I was telling him what to put into the bag.
So it's interesting. You never packed a bag because I know you had a backup doctor and a backup hospital, but you never packed a bag just in case. Or did I screw you up and you thought the baby wasn't coming for a little while?
No. I was on the fence about packing a hospital bag. One of my friends had a baby 2 weeks before me. And her husband actually was like, you know, Amaris, you should probably pack a hospital bag because, you know, Bryson can pack the bag for you, but Bryson's going to be by your side helping you through contractions. He's not going to want to, he's like, he's not going to want to pack the bag for you. So just pack the bag, just have it just in case.
And then you said.
And I was like, you know, that's a good idea. So I actually got the duffel bag. And I think I put one or two things in the duffel bag. I did not pack the bag fully, but it was in the plan to have a bag. I wasn't expecting this baby.
Well, you were. I wasn't. But I mean, the phone charger, is that like the most important thing?
Bryson grabbed the phone charger for me. Whew. He grabbed toothpaste and toothbrush, super basic stuff, some underwear, you know.
Yeah.
But
all right. So you pack all your stuff. And what's going through your head at this point? Because like you said, you do not love hospital.
No.
Nope. You do like autonomy. You don't feel like you get it at the hospital.
Yep.
I mean, and you wanted your baby at home. You wanted it all natural, no interventions. And is there fear? Because you also said you're not a fearful person. But that sometimes fear, you know, even for non-fearful people, fear is there. But, you know, it's supposed to. It's like a protective mechanism. So I guess my question for you is there fear because of like all the blood that people are not excited about? Is there fear of going to the hospital? Is there, you know, feelings of letdown or are you like curious? Like, what's the emotion?
The emotion was I was disappointed. I definitely was fearful of going to the hospital and having things out of my control.
So your fear is not medical fear. Like, ugh, maybe something's wrong. Your fear is more like, am I going to have a say in what happens next?
Yeah, I just feared that there was going to be unnecessary medical intervention.
Okay.
That's what I feared, that there's going to be some unnecessary medical intervention going on once I step into that hospital. And that was my biggest fear at that moment.
And disappointed at the change of plan?
disappointed at the change of plans. Yep. Because I was so confident in being able to, you know, stay home. And, you know, I just.
You didn't even have like your team come over.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, Bryson was the team at that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, even if you picture, like, sometimes home birth goes on for a long time and maybe you run out of steam or something comes up along the way, but like, you're still home, like, and nobody's come to you and you're already leaving.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. Exactly. And I'm like, we didn't even get to set up the pool.
After Bryson went out and got the adapter.
Right, yeah, when the hardware
store opened, you have all these sandwiches and who's going to eat them?
Exactly.
I see the disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you go to the hospital.
Yeah, we go to the hospital, which is 4 minutes away, which was beautiful. It was a short drive. Go to the emergency. And right when I walk in through that door, I started sobbing. I was crying so much, Dr. Berlin. Oh my gosh. I walked up to the little desk and she asked for the first thing was insurance. And I just was crying. And I was like upset that I had to be at the hospital, you know? Like I said, it was just disappointment. And it wasn't even the pain from contractions or anything like that. I was just really disappointed that I was in the hospital. And I was like, this is not how I wanted childbirth to go down. I was like, I do not want to be here because I already know what they're going to do. So, you know, they take me to the room and the first thing that they do, put me to an IV.
Have they checked anything yet by this point?
No. I go to the room, I lay down in the bed, and they knew the reason why I was admitted is because I was bleeding and I'm pregnant. So the first thing that they do is IV, the fetal monitor. The fetal monitor and like a contraction monitor.
Two belts.
Yes, I had two belts on. And I didn't want that because I wanted to be mobile. In a hospital, I wanted to be able to walk around and, you know, walk through contractions and all that stuff.
First of all, the IV, was that not a conversation? Like, hey, we're planning to start an IV?
I mean, they didn't ask me.
Mm. Did you ask for no IV?
I didn't know I had a... This is the autonomy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, right. They don't make it obvious, but I mean, by law, you have autonomy.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
Okay.
I let them put the IV. And also, Dr. Berlin, the other part of it is that this is the first time I go through labor. This is my first baby. And I don't know, like, am I supposed to have an IV because I'm bleeding so much? Like, I don't know what the appropriate thing is. You kind of just let the healthcare professionals just kind of
do their thing.
Yeah, you just let them do their thing. So I was letting them do their thing. So the obstetrician walks in and, you know, he was explaining the process and he said that we're going to monitor you. He was very empathetic towards the situation.
And does that feel nice? That kind of support?
Oh, man. He was amazing.
Okay, great. Listen, and it's not even your OB. It's just who the hospitalist who happens to be there.
Yeah, it was a random obstetrician.
Rando.
Yeah. I don't know the guy. He was in my backup.
I don't know what... You know, I just hear my teenager sometimes say rando. So I went with it.
And he walked in and he was very comforting and empathetic towards my situation. And he said, I understand that this is not in your plans to be here. So let's monitor you for a few hours and see how the bleeding goes and monitor your baby. And hopefully you can go back home. So the plans.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was so hopeful when he said that, and I was really happy that he was on my team, like on my page, like, let's get her back home so she can have the baby at home.
Okay, so that sounds like a wonderful plan.
Yes. So I'm being monitored. Bryson's there with me, and the heart rate monitor was showing that the baby's, you know, heart rate was dipping pretty low. There's apparently three categories, category one, two, and three. Category three is emergency. Category two is we got to keep a close eye. So my baby's heart rate was a category two. So every time I was having a contraction, right after the contraction, the baby's heart rate would dip. Dip pretty low. So I was having that going on, plus the bleeding. They kept changing out the pads. I had the bleeding going on still.
At least you got your money's worth on the pounds. So your category, let's keep a close eye on the baby.
Yeah.
Not category, yeah. Go home.
Not yet. Not yet. And I remember I was sitting in certain positions. I kept shifting into certain positions to see if the baby's heart rate would do better, like if I'm on my left side or if I'm on my right side. And there were some changes. I believe when I was on my right side, the baby's heart rate was doing way better. But then once I moved again, it would dip down low. And the doctor was like, no, we can't send you home yet.
All right. Well, how long does that go on for?
For a long time. The contractions became more intense. And that's when I called my doula to come to the hospital because they didn't release me to go home. The contractions were getting really, 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 really intense. And Bryson kept working on my lower back. And I just felt so much pain in my lower back. That's where all the pain was. Back labor.
Yeah, that's not ideal. So at this point, still nobody checked you?
So yes, I'm sorry. I was checked. I was one fingertip dilated.
Oh, like almost there. Wow.
One fingertip.
Only 9 and a little bit to go.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that when you got in to the hospital?
Yes, that's when I got into the hospital. Sorry, I didn't say that in the beginning. No, that's right. I forgive you. I was one fingertip dilated, and hours passed by. Ended up calling the doula. Doula came, and she helped so much working through those contractions. And once Bryson saw like what she was doing, they both had their hands on me to work through contractions.
Oh, nice.
And
teamwork.
Oh man, dream team. Let me tell you, I mean, Bryson was running on very little sleep, running around, and the doula was with us for, I don't know how many, I want to say she was with us maybe for 16 hours in the hospital.
Oh, this means that we're not almost done with the story.
No.
Oh boy. Okay. So no epidural for you at this point. You're still on.
No, nothing. Okay. I didn't want anything. No drugs.
Still hoping to go home soon?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you end up going home?
No, I didn't go home.
Spoiler alert.
I did not go home. I stayed in the hospital. And once more time passed by, I was like, okay, let's just aim to have a vaginal delivery. You know, let's just focus on, all right, you're here. Let's get this baby out. Let's work through these contractions and just have the baby here.
Okay, two questions. Are you in touch with the midwife at all during this time? And are you being checked? It sounds like labor is pretty intense and a lot of back labor. Are there signs of progress?
So with me being in touch with anybody, I wasn't on my phone at all. My husband was in touch with my family, and I believe my husband was in touch with my midwife as well, letting her know how things have been progressing.
Was there ever a thought like someone should go get all the sandwiches?
Yes. Because the hospital told me I couldn't eat.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying about autonomy?
Man, they said ice chips. Like, I wanted to eat because, you know, I knew that I needed to fuel my body in order to push a baby out.
Yeah, that's a weird one to me.
I needed to fuel my body. My husband knew, like, I love my husband. For somehow knowing exactly what I needed at certain moments, he snuck a sandwich in. He was like, here, take a couple bites real quick before the nurse comes in.
So, not bad for a guy from Instagram.
Yeah, he was sneaking some food in for me, which I totally appreciate. Because listen, I was in labor for 29 hours. I was having contractions for such a long time. And, you know, like I said, Bryson and the doula, like Bryson was there with me and like looking at me in my eyes when I needed assurance and breathing with me and walking me to the bathroom and seeing things come out of, you know, both ends.
Only two, not three.
You know, and the contractions were so intense. Like I was shaking, I was quivering, like I was shaking so much.
You sometimes people look like they're having a seizure.
Yeah.
From those big hormone changes and all that intensity. I need to know how the story ends right after this break.
Well,
Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We're talking to Amaris, and the situation has changed from the original vision. The idea was home birth with birth tub and a doula and mom, which I have a question where mom's at still at this point, because you gave her plenty of time to get there. So a lot of bleeding during the very early stages of labor. Midwife says go to the hospital to check it out. Hospital's like, yeah, let's monitor and send you home. But no, you're in category two, must watch closely. Now you have an IV, but you don't have any pain meds at this point. And your vision changes, like, let's aim for vaginal birth is the next plan.
Yep.
Hubby and doula are doing a great job keeping you calm. You have an empathetic rando doctor that you never met prior to this, but a good doctor. And you're feeling your autonomy taken away from you, which is what you didn't like, in the sense that it sounds like not a whole lot of discussion. Like, we would like to start an IV, and this is why we'd like to start an IV. Would you like to or not like to? Just sort of like routine. We're doing this. And no eating. But your superstar husband sneaks you in a sandwich. We're throwing him under the bus here. They must know that everyone eats. So where is mom? Did she catch a flight?
She caught a flight. She's en route. She's en route to LA from Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So she's in air.
She's en route. Yep.
And you got stuff coming out of all the ends.
Yeah. Also, my husband gave me M&Ms too. I can't forget about that.
Sponsored by. Okay. Yeah. So are there signs that you're progressing?
So, after like going through so many hours and so much pain, I remember one of the nurses came in. It was in the middle of the night. The nurse came in and she was like, do you want me to check you to see how far along you are? And at first I said, no, I don't know why, but I said, no.
I mean, it makes sense. You just wanted to do it.
Yeah. You know? I was like, my body's progressing. I know I'm progressed by the intensity of the contractions. I know I've progressed. And then she comes back an hour later and she sees me really going through it with the contractions, and Bryson is helping and the doula. And the doula was actually putting me in different positions to make them more
productive.
Yeah, productive. That's the perfect word for it. And man, oh man, she was good at that.
they felt productive.
So she definitely made them more productive. And after like doing that for about an hour, the nurse came back in, was like, I can check you now if you want. So I said, go ahead and check me. She checks me. I'm 1 centimeter dilated. And when she
took her,
she took her finger out and she was like, 1 centimeter. I started crying.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe like all this excruciating pain that I was going through. And I was only 1 centimeter dilated and I could not understand why I was not dilating. I don't know why I was bleeding so much. And I had so many emotions like running through me.
Yeah, still running through you. What are you feeling, Mama?
I'm very grateful. Excuse me. But, you know, going through all that for...
What's coming up for you, though?
Just how I tried to control so much. And just a lot of me trying to control. And, you know, if you even listen back to our conversation from before, how anti-medical intervention I was, I think about that. And I'm so grateful for, you know...
Medical intervention?
I needed it.
I never got the sense from you that you were against medical intervention. I got the sense from you that you were against medical intervention that's being sort of pushed on people who don't want it and don't need it, which is a lot different than being against medical intervention. Like medical intervention, like I think that tracheotomy is an amazing thing. We pop a hole in someone's trachea and they can breathe, but I wouldn't do it to somebody who didn't need it.
Right.
I'd be against doing it to somebody who didn't need it because we'd be doing more harm than good. There's no reason for it. And I had lots of conversations with you and I never heard you say, I wish we never had the option to numb people from pregnancy or to do a cesarean birth or whatever. Right. It was just like, I don't want it if I don't need it. I don't want it pushed on me. I want to be able to be part of the decision-making process. And that's a lot different than being against intervention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like thinking about everything that happened and the support I was getting from my husband, like he knew exactly what was like running through my mind. Like he knew that I didn't want this and he knew what my wishes were. And he was just so supportive, helping me cope through all the changes that were happening, you know, hour by hour by hour. And just reassuring me that I was doing the best that I could, everything that I could, and kind of just having to surrender. And as much as I thought I was ready to surrender, like I was reading books. There's a book I have called Birthing from Within, and you do a lot of like journal exercises and writing exercises, like writing down what your fears are of birthing and, you know, writing down fears and facing like shadows and things like that. I thought I was like ready to maybe surrender, but come Labor Day, I was not, you know, I definitely did not surrender as graciously as I thought I would.
But isn't surrender like the real, I kind of feel like they say when you have your first baby, there's two births at once, right? The birth of the mother and the birth of the baby. Isn't surrender like literally the birth of the mother?
That's that transformation.
It's huge. Yeah. It's like something that's very, very hard to do for someone who likes to be in control, especially cautious people. But are there things from your past that kind of messed with your autonomy that make you sort of grab onto that control more firmly?
You know, that's a great question for me to dig deeper into.
I know.
Yeah.
A discussion for another time. But either way, that was hard for you. And it looks like it's still kind of hard for you. Like it's still processing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's like no way to reach out and give you a big old hug through the Zoom that we're on right now. But I don't know. My heart is there with you.
Thanks, Dr. Berlin. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of big stuff coming up for you here. So 1 centimeter, does that mean in your mind, like, I'm going to need more help?
Yes, because at that point, we're over 20 hours of labor. It was intense. And
I don't know if this is comforting for you at all, but one of your predictions was that labor would go over 24 hours.
Yeah. So,
right again.
Yeah, over 24 hours in under 5 days.
Hopefully, I know it went over 24 hours, and hopefully under 5 days.
I ended up getting an epidural. They gave me Pitocin. After that epidural, I knocked out like a baby. I slept, and my husband slept with me right by my side.
Oh.
Yep. And that was like some much needed sleep that we both needed. We were both super exhausted. And we slept. We woke up. The doctor came in, the same doctor. And he gave us a synopsis of what was going on. 29 hours have passed. Baby's heart rate is getting worse. And the bleeding was still going on. I had all this bleeding. He did not know why. He couldn't tell why there was so much blood. You know, he brought up C-section. He was like, I want you guys to talk about it. He explained to us why he wants to do it. And he said that he would prefer to do it now rather than waiting when our hair is on fire. And we have to work quickly to do a C-section to get the baby out.
I heard the doctors hate doing C-sections when your hair is on fire.
Yeah. He didn't want to do that. He said, if we plan for it, you know, I can call my partner to drive in. And he said, also, this is my last day. I'm retiring today.
Whoa, no way.
Yeah, it was his last day. He was retiring. He said, I would really love to deliver your baby for you. And turns out this guy is like one of the best obstetricians in the country. He told us that it was his last day. And me and Bryson loved the doctor. He was so great with us. He did an amazing job. So my husband and I spoke about the C-section. We both decided it would be the best thing considering everything that was happening. So my mom's flight landed in LAX when we decided to go through with the C-section. My cousin that lives in LA went to go pick her up, drove her straight to the hospital. My mom gets to the hospital right in time when they roll me into the operating room.
She's good with the timing.
Bryson like brings her into the hospital and onto the floor. She wasn't allowed in the room. Bryson was in the operating room with me. My mom got there just in the nick of time and the team of doctors did their thing.
Did you have to lie about the sandwich?
Right? That's why they don't want you to eat, just in case they had to do a C-section.
Yes.
But, you know, the C-section turned out fine. They did have to cut me a little bit more because they said the baby's shoulders were really broad. Apparently, my baby has really broad shoulders.
Oh, well, obviously.
Thanks to Bryson, right?
Football player baby.
So they did do that, and they used the vacuum as well.
Oh, even during the cesarean.
Yeah.
So this is curious. Did you get any intel on where the bleeding was coming from? Was it the broad shoulders that were preventing the baby from coming down?
I don't know. I remember I was laying there and I said, did I have placental abruption? I still don't know what all the blood was for, where that came from. I don't know.
Like, because it wasn't important at that moment, and so it was just never a discussion, or because they don't know?
I think that they don't know. I asked, how's the placenta? Like, do you see anything, you know, any issues with the placenta? They didn't see any issues with the placenta. I actually got the placenta encapsulated, so I was able to take the placenta home. But I still don't know. The doctor said that I was hemorrhaging, you know, this big old question mark.
How big was the baby?
6 pounds, even.
Wait, and I was right on one. I said 6 pounds.
6 pound baby.
Ah! I get a point.
Yeah, 6 pound baby and 19 inches long.
No, I was wrong. You said 6 pounds. Crap, 3-0. I said 7.5.
Oh, yeah. I was 6 pounds even. And the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. That was the other thing. Bryson cut the cord and the baby came out, and it was just, you know, beautiful moment. Beautiful. I was happy that the baby was fine. I was so happy to hear the baby crying. They put the baby on me, on my face.
On your face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For one thing, how was your physical recovery?
It was rough. It was rough. They offered me narcotics. They offered me oxycodone, but I did not take it. And I just kind of powered through the pain. And I would say the first week was pretty excruciating. I had a really hard time walking, getting to the bathroom. My mom was here. And I mean, I was in the hospital for 5 days. And then when I came home is when my mom and Bryson really were like dream team again and helping me with everything. They helped me so much, and their support is invaluable. And just, you know, it was painful for me, but the amount of support and love that I was receiving just helps you get through those challenging times. And I cannot, you know, thank my family and my husband. Oh my gosh, my husband was the fiercest protector throughout this. You know, he was protecting me and his son. And at one point, he did have to kick one of the nurses out of the room.
Oh, wow. Why? What was she doing?
My doula noticed that the IV drip wasn't on, and she pointed it out to the nurse, and the nurse just ignored it. And then the nurse also had a hard time with putting the IV, like she was doing something on my arm with the IV, and she wasn't able to do it. And then strike three, she did something else, and Bryson was like, yeah, she's got to go. Mm-mm. But, you know, my husband is the fiercest protector.
Oh, that's great.
Of me and his son. So yeah, I'm grateful. Although, like, it was challenging and I had to surrender the entire process and just let go, it was a beautiful experience. And I'm happy to have my husband by my side to go through that with me. I think it definitely bonded us and it prepared us, you know, one of those steps into parenthood, you know, because childbirth is a one-day event, or maybe 2 days, right?
Not five.
And parenthood is a lifetime.
Yes.
So, you know,
it sure is. Wow. I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to start doing, like, you know, where are they now episodes down the road, because you're clearly just starting to process everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot. It's important to give yourself that space.
Yep.
To feel sadness, disappointment. Okay. Sometimes people feel grief. It doesn't take away from how happy you are and grateful you are, both for the healthy baby and for the fierce protector. and for the medical system and all the things that it was able to offer you that you benefited from, even though that wasn't your plan A.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I'm really curious how things will move forward, how you'll process, and eventually what you'll decide to do should you have another linebacker in.
Yeah. My baby has some big hands and feet. He's got wide receiver hands.
Ah, I wonder if you get your op report. I'm just curious if there's any clues in there about what was going on.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just know that when I heard that baby cry, I was like, okay, that's what I wanted to hear. You know, I wanted to hear the baby's healthy, chubby cheeks and good to go.
Amaris, I appreciate you and all the courageous women like you who come share your story, especially before and after when you share what you're aiming for without having an idea how it will go. And coming back afterwards, even though it didn't go how you planned for, but it's just real. And you learned a lot from your experience and you came here and shared it so that we could learn from your experience as well. And I appreciate you.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you too. And thank you for having me on here to share this with other women. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I will be seeing you for this back pain.
I cannot wait to get my big hands and give you some new mama TLC. Give back to those who give to life to all of us. Thank you. Thank you. There's so much coming out right now from the Informed Pregnancy Project. And if you want to catch it all, visit us on Instagram at Dr. Berlin, DrBerlin, or at drberlin.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.